Prabhupada.
Rulers are appointed to rule by his outward looks. We have to seek and we have lost your body.
We have to, the search for a spiritual master should be based on observing inner qualities in him. Yes, inner qualities though, which we, Rupa Goswami is giving us some external signs to identify, right? These six, control of the six urges. That's something which is observable, but it reflects inner quality. Yes, so why did we talk about this at all? Why did we talk about this at all?
For see the different symptoms of the person who controls the mind and senses.
Yeah. Why did we talk about this?
Because the spiritual life begins in sense control.
Because spiritual life begins in sense control and?
Attitude of the mind.
Yes, it is his aim in giving this verse in the beginning of Upadeshamrita. Spiritual life, of course, begins with sense control, but spiritual life, this verse also means that spiritual life begins with connecting with the spiritual master. And he's telling us what is a spiritual master, who is a spiritual master. Yes. Yes. Yes, what else? Yes?
Glorifying the bhakti. Bhakti only can uproot the seeds of sin. And then others, the knowledge, can purify our subtle body, but its seed is there. And what about other atonement? So that's it. Glorifying the bhakti is the most important.
We glorify bhakti because none of the other processes can actually completely purify the soul and the seed. What is the seed?
Ignorance,
which means our ignorance of Krishna, our ignorance of our identity, of our nature. What is our nature? Internal servant of Krishna. And it's not just a word, it's a mood. It's a mood of service. And instead of that, we are identified with the material body. And this is caused by an opposite mood, the mood to enjoy, which is the mood of the Purusha, but there's only one, this is Krishna. Okay, and so only bhakti can, bhakti gives us back this position of a servant. So as we cultivate this mentality and activities of a servant, then ignorance is destroyed. And as ignorance is destroyed, there's no more basis for the mistaken desires. And if the desires are not there, then the sins are not there. And if the sins are not there, then what?
Reactions.
No reactions.
No cycle of birth
and death. And no suffering. Yes. Okay. Yes, what did we learn? This false identification with the body, yes, is at the root of these vegas, yes, is actually this mentality. The body is caused by this false mentality of being the enjoyer. And the vegas come from this, yes.
Outcome of not controlling these vegas.
Oh, yes. What is the outcome?
The necessity of controlling these vegas. The people coming sinful activities, their enjoyment is not regulated because it is not related and they will take the karma out of the principle.
Yes. Today we will see more in detail for each vega what is the consequence of not controlling. What else did we learn? Something for our personal life? Yes?
Earlier, before selecting a guru, you should not just follow a community or somebody, but you have to use your own. Okay. Intelligence and understand this.
You use your personal intelligence and all your might to find your spiritual master as opposed to following so many external ways, such as following the ways of your community or what people say. Or we saw so many various reasons that may attract us to someone besides what Rupa Goswami says. Yes? Is that good? So what is to be done with the Vegas? Vishaheta. We tolerate the Vegas. They come and they insist, they push, they see that you just have to be little. Just hold on, hold on, just hold on. Eh? And what is very, it is very nice actually to have this meditation when there is a Vega that is coming. When we chant japa, the mano vega is coming. So many times something is happening in our life, the vega is coming. And one good meditation for it is that it is not permanent. When it comes, it seems so insisting, but if we can meditate on this fact that actually it is not permanent, it is there, it will stay for some time, and it will go. So whether the Vega is there, or whether it is not there, what should we be doing? Chant Hare Krishna. Yes, Govinda Bhasya found. Chant Hare Krishna and continue your service. Don't give up. In spite, because Vegas means difficulties are coming. Some difficulties are there. So don't give up. Just keep going. And know it has come, it will go. Whether in heaven or in hell, I shall serve. Heaven means when everything is good, the mind is peaceful, there is no disturbance, you serve Krishna, so happy. And then suddenly the picture of your stars change in your astrological sky, and suddenly the whole mind goes, you know, and so many bad impressions come in the mind, and so many pushings come in the senses. So at that time, what should we do? Keep doing the same, because this is the test. That we are, don't let yourself be influenced. Some influence will be there, but don't let the complete influence be there. What is the complete influence of the Vegas? Just go. Give up this thing. Go, go. Just go. Leave this movement. Leave Krishna consciousness. Leave the Guru. Leave the service. That means the Vegas have won. But as long as you stay, you stay, you serve, you chant, you take prasadam, it means they have not won. There is a battle. There is a battle, but no defeat so far. So keep going. That is vishaheta, tolerate. And we will hear more about each of them, how to tolerate, how to engage them, how to somehow control them, to be able to remain fixed on the service. And very nice. Two each. And yes? Oh, okay, someone didn't speak. Yes? Yeah?
A Guru's mercy is in the form of his instructions. And the what service he gives to us, that is our constitution.
Okay, so Guru's mercy means his instructions, not some magic brand, you know, ting, now you are self-realized, ting. No, it's his instructions. Sometimes it is compared that, because it is also explained, in Bhagavad Gita, I'm sure you might have read this already, that the conditioned soul is covered in such a way by the material energy that we cannot come out of it on our own. We have to be saved by one who is free. So that is the idea of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is free, and so he can save us. We have fallen into a well, the deep dark well of material existence. We are surrounded by the darkness of ignorance. And what does the Guru do? He is somewhere outside of the well and he is sending a rope. He is sending a rope. What is the rope? His instructions. So he is sending the rope of his instructions, his words. And what should we do?
Catch the rope.
Catch the rope and hold on tight. Yeah, and he will lift us up. So this is very important to understand that it is not enough to take initiation. It's not enough to have the best guru in the world. We have to catch the rope. Huh? If the guru is outside the well, I'm in the well, and the connection is the rope. If you don't follow the instructions, if we neglect the instructions, and no matter how elevated the guru is, it's very auspicious to have an elevated guru, but we have to follow the instructions. We have to make our own endeavor. We have to have the proper attitude. We have to take advantage of the rope, the instructions, his order, his instructions. Then only the process will work. Okay? Yes, Vladimir?
Not just science that the two ways of life, and we shouldn't suppress them, but we should engage them in the relationship.
Okay, so these vegas are a sign of the life within. Mm-hmm. And so there's no question of switching them off. Mm-hmm. We have to engage them. Yes. Yes, Sheila? We cannot control. This is a good point. Whose are these vegas? They are energies. Prabhupada says formidable power. The power to speak, the power of powers. It's powers. It's energies. And they are Krishna's energies. So our duty is to become his servant. The more our consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna, the more that absorption in Krishna will control these vegas. Yes. Very good. Okay, here.
Srila Prabhupada, when the devotee they approach him and they convey to him that we are not able to perform our devotional services and we are being agitated by our senses, so Srila Prabhupada used to give you answers even I cannot do this, only Krishna can do this. You should approach the deity, and sometimes he used to say, continue doing it, and it will go like different.
Okay, so Ananda Mayada is remembering some of Prabhupada's responses when the devotees ask him how to control, and he said, even I can't. It is difficult even for me. Or he said, impossible. Only Krishna can. Or he said, go pray to the deity, chant, pray, keep going, do not give up, it will go, it is temporary, as it has come, it will go. Yes. Sankita?
Regarding atonement, without coming to the real knowledge, without awakening of the dormant consciousness,
the solution is to come to Krishna consciousness, bhakti.
Three examples were discussed, three punished in the jail, and elephant getting the bath.
We saw so many examples.
Yes, it's just going on.
Prayaschita is like an elephant bath. Mm-hmm. Yes. Shubhankar?
There are two types of atonement. One is direct method, one is indirect method. Direct method is by the master of the devotees, we can have more liberty principle. And indirect method is doing tapasya and doing one by one.
These are two methods of progression, advancement, of a spiritual advancement, yes. Sandipani?
We always go through here so that we are advanced in spiritual life, like we discuss in our group.
We must be eager to hear, that's what you said. Okay. Over there? Tirumala Govinda?
Three important things this lesson is discussing. First is self-control.
Okay, the three aspects we discussed of this verse. Two we saw already, and the third is you become a Goswami. It's a preacher. You become a teacher, you become a preacher. You take this message, you take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And by serving Lord Chaitanya in this body, we will attain Radha Krishna Madhurya Prem in an eternal body. So with this body we serve the mission in this life, and internally we cultivate the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in regard to his attachment to Krishna. Yes, Bridget?
We also learned that Srila Prabhupada said, if you're trying to see Krishna, do not go behind some tree or bush and try to find him. If you just listen to my instruction, distribute this book, and follow Krishna consciousness, you will see Krishna.
So we engage ourselves in the mission. We do not artificially try to just cultivate Krishna within. And Prabhupada also called it going behind the bush in Vrindavan. To do what? You will sit and you will try to chant and chant and chant and chant. Some people can. Some people can do that. But there are examples. There was one, I think his name was Omkar or something. One Prabhupada disciple, he was diagnosed of a terminal disease. So he asked Prabhupada, what shall I do? So, and he wanted, he said, because I am diseased, there's no, makes no sense for me, life, I just want to chant. And Srila Prabhupada gave him Babaji initiation. He's the only person who got Babaji initiation. He gave him Babaji initiation and sent him to Mayapur. He said, you sit in Mayapur, we have our land there, you sit there and chant 24 hours, just chant. So he went there, and he started, and he was chanting. And for some months he was chanting. And then, one day, he went for a checkup, and the disease was gone. Jai. So immediately he left his Babaji dress, and he went back to America, and they never heard of him again. So, we are not that advanced to actually just cultivate the inner mood. It requires, first, you will see this in Nectar of Devotion, we must first purify ourselves, purify these Vedas. We have to purify the subtle body, purify the senses, and then after some time, it becomes possible to actually fix the mind, and we will see in the later verses of Upadeshamrita what it actually means to fix the mind. It is something not like what we do every morning. We chant and the mind is spinning, and for a few seconds the mind stops, and then it starts again. We will see in the further verses of Upadeshamrita what it actually means. It means, like the Ashtanga Yogis, to enter into Samadhi. But for this to happen, there has to be no Rajas, no Tamas. As we said, when we get concentrated during Japa, the next step is... as soon as concentration comes, after some time we fall asleep. Why? Because Tamas is there. So we have to cultivate Sattva, we have been told. And that sattva will be cultivated by the regular sadhana, and that rajas will be engaged and destroyed by engaging in the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So we do that. We do sadhana and we engage in as much service as we can. And then when the purification has taken place, we will begin to actually fathom what it means, this verse number 8. But we are not in number 8 now, we are in number 1. So I think we will continue. See, so many things we learned only from half of the verse. So let us continue. You have something else?
Mind and intelligence actually very situated in the body. Sometimes I heard like it's in the heart. Mind becomes subtle. Where is location in the body? It's in the brain areas, like it's in the heart.
No, the mind, the subtle body has the same form as the entire body. It has a form. The subtle body has a form. And it has this, more or less the same form made of subtle elements, or the same form as our gross body. And on the basis of the subtle body, the gross body grows. It is defined within the subtle body what kind of nose, what kind of ears, what kind of eyes, how much power in the eyes. All this is defined in the subtle body. So the subtle body has the same shape. The soul is said to reside in the heart, right, in the area of the heart. the feelings, we know, are in this area of the heart. When you feel pain, where do you feel pain? When you have an emotional, like, struggle, where is the pain? You feel it's in the heart. It's in this area here. But the mind is not, as we say, the heart is the seat of the mind, right? But that heart doesn't mean this pumping heart here, no. It is actually the, it's a subtle state before the manifestation of this subtle body. There are different stages. When you study the third canto in Srimad Bhagavata, you see that things, there are different layers of subtleness. And so, like that. But otherwise, the mind, like the consciousness, is spread all over the body. Some people are capable of seeing the subtle body. They see the subtle body. Means there is a subtle heart, a subtle liver, there is a subtle nose, a subtle ear, subtle everything. Everything exists on the subtle platform. And when we dream, our consciousness is withdrawn from the gross body and it is located only in the subtle body. So in the dream you run, meaning you have legs, you eat, you have a mouth, you taste, you have a tongue, you can see, you can smell, you can hear the sound, you can meet someone, shake hand. So the subtle body is there, complete, with all the same things as the gross body.
Same subtle body has intelligence. Similarly, intelligence, like you say, subtle body is a form.
Yeah.
So intelligence also determines the subtle body.
Intelligence, yeah, the subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence, false ego, and another thing they call chitta, contaminated consciousness. It's consciousness actually, but it is consciousness which is turned bahirmukha, outwards. Okay? That consciousness which we have now is outwards. We perceive the material energy. So these four elements, they constitute the subtle body.
So they're together one form.
They are together, yes. And they are difficult to differentiate sometimes. But the most prominent out of them is the mind. And the most, most prominent is the mind that we are most affected by. Which is why it is talked about here, Manu Vegam. However, superior to the mind is the intelligence, and superior to the intelligence is the consciousness. So what are these six urges? Srila Prabhupada spends the rest of the purport talking of this, and we said first he will give his own commentary, then we will hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I gave an exercise yesterday. Anybody who has pre-practiced awareness of the urges?
The speech. I did the speech.
You did the speech, or you chose one. So what did you see?
It was kind of tough. Because you were trying to speak really, really tough.
And yeah, it comes. You feel it comes from within. I want to... speak and no, don't speak. We are controlling the earth to speak. So you witness this.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, the Vega, how it is coming. It wants to come out. Anyone else practiced? Yes, Vijman Gora?
I noticed how my mind was working.
Oh.
And
he did the mind.
I was chanting. And then I noticed that thoughts would come and just. They want it to be resolved. They wanted me to put energy into it so
yes.
I could come up with a complete thought and then put it aside. And until the thought got my attention, it wouldn't go away.
Right.
It was trying to convince me, you must get the attention, otherwise I won't go away. If you ignore me, I'll stay. So it was like a battle. And I was thinking, but for Shantama, she said, no, if I ignore you, you'll go away.
You will go.
So who do I trust?
What happened?
I ignored. and it went away, but it came back again later.
Sometimes there was, I remember one time, long, long time ago, I was taking some seminar from Hari Kesh Maharaj, not long time ago. And he was saying in the japa when this happens, that ni, some thought that you won't leave you. So he used to say, especially if you are in management or something, you know, it's all about Krishna's things, you know, but it keeps pouring. So he was saying, you keep a small piece of paper and a pen there and just, like, write it down, like, in one word, you know? And immediately that urge is like, ah, I was heard, you know? And it hopefully goes away. Hopefully. Yes, good. So it's very insistent. And anyone else? Yes?
While I was chanting today, so there were some thoughts, and I was like, maybe I'm not taking good prasad, that's why my consciousness is not good, and then not here. Maybe that's why you are continuously coming, and I'm not able to take shelter of the Lord, like you were telling me yesterday. I was just chanting continuously with that those thoughts and that was battling my mind. Secondly, I practiced the urge of speech. I was in the library and I wanted a book, and that Prabhuji was, because I wanted not to speak, but then where was the book, I didn't know. So I asked some Prabhuji, where is the book without speaking, and he was, which book you want, Mataji? I showed him, I wanted English book, so I had no clue how to tell him, so I showed him this. Oh, you want Bhakti Swami Sindhu? No, Prabhuji, I want Bhagavad Gita. But how to tell him? So, then I sat down.
You were practicing Mona and trying to speak to someone.
I was in the library, and that was the last half an hour.
I'm not sure whether you got it right. You practice Mona when you don't want to talk to anybody, not when you want to talk to somebody. Okay, good. So, but one thing that Prabhupada says is that Mona doesn't include just speaking, but it also includes what you did. Signs, writing it down, making signs, all this is speaking. So Mona means nothing of this, Prabhupada says. You don't show, you don't make signs like Italians, nothing like that. Anyone else had any experience? Yes?
Yes, I was trying to observe that Vachovigam.
Vachovigam.
But it is very difficult to keep, because always what comes and then whatever you're studying, but still your mind goes in and there, wanted to speak something. It's always pushing. Speak something. But always engaging in myself, but still I was not able to do much of it. So difficult. And as well as also manasa, while chanting, I was hearing, just Prabhupada told chant and hear. But there very few I could hear. So that's it.
But at least you became conscious. You see, because most of the time we think we've chanted. But we haven't heard any mantra at all. So when you do this exercise, you notice that the mind is there, and you can hardly hear a single mantra. It's very difficult. So it takes lots of practice.
First time, one mantra, 1 minute, just 3, 4, sometimes 6, 7, 8 mantras, it's really hard.
Several mantras, and then again there is the mind is coming, then again concentration, then again going. Yes, good. Any other Vegas, anybody try? Yes, Shubhankar?
I'll
try
my Udara Vega.
You ate half breakfast. Very good. I practiced that too. You ate half breakfast. Very good.
Whatever I
cook, I call like the devotee and share half with him and I get up. Nice. Anybody hungry? He's practicing Udara Vega control. Good. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
I was feeling after when I went after the class to temple, I was feeling like we can get few samosas from monks and then me. Then I thought, no, this is the arch of the tongue, so we should not do this. But Bhaktivedanta Damodar Maharaj has told not to eat this, which is not proper. So then I controlled and went back to home.
Oh, wow. We did some control of Jiva Vega. No samosas. No samosas cooked in the bakery. Huh? They cook, eat, cook little more, eat little more. You know the cooks over there? They don't have Jiva. They have very active Jiva Vega. So they are cooking, eating. And they offer to pet. You're eating pet prasadam. Yes, one time I was in the restaurant, Govinda, several years ago, and they had a glass door to the kitchen. And I sat in a table where I could see. I very rarely go there. Very rarely. So somehow at the end of the, and I can see, I make an order, so I want this and that. And then I see there was that door to the kitchen, and there was a counter just next to the door. And one man was chopping. And I thought it must be paneer. So he was chopping, popping, chopping, popping, chopping, popping. And when the order came, I said, I don't think I'm hungry anymore. So yes, eating anywhere, dangerous. Huh? And then the mind gets disturbed. We will see this. So, there are three categories of urges. Three categories. Which one? There are six urges, but they are in three categories. Speech, mind, and body. This is something we know, it's knowledge. There is speech, mind, and body. Which one is the speech? Vacca. Vaccho vegam, the power to speak. Srila Prabhupada says the speaking power, the urge to speak. What it means to speak? See, the cows are also speaking. No, what it means to speak. What is speaking? Communicating, expressing. Yes, this is a good word. You express, and it is in the form of sound, shabda. This is what we call shabda. Shabda means the sound which is spoken sound. So we are speaking. We are expressing in sounds, in words. And what are we expressing? We are expressing what?
Feelings.
And thoughts,
desires,
views, opinions, and a little bit more. That is true. This is all true. Anything else? I mean, we said emotions and
needs.
Yeah, we have needs. So in other words, we are expressing different states of our self. We have a self. What is it made of?
Satchidananda.
That's when you chant Hare Krishna. Man, buddhi, ankar, that's the subtle self. What else is there? The gross body. The gross body. So there is the gross body, there is the subtle body, and there's the self also, the soul. So when we speak, we are expressing states of being or different states of affairs related to these three atmas. They are called the atmas. The gross body is an atma, the subtle mind is also atma, and the atma, subtle soul, that is also atma. So if I say, I am hungry, who's speaking? The gross body is speaking. Of course the perception is of the soul. But what is it? It's a state of the gross body. What means I'm hungry? Means the stomach is empty. And the body is out of energy. It needs a refill. So that's what it means. So I'm hungry. And the fire is burning inside and there are cramps. So I say, what is happening here comes out in the form of sound and says, "Hi, the stomach. I'm hungry. I am empty. I'm hungry." And if I say, "I'm shy." Who's speaking?
My mind.
The heart, the mind. There's the mind. Thinking, feeling, willing. There's a feeling. So the mind is expressing. "I'm shy. I'm afraid." So all these things are happening at different levels of the being. And if I hear something like, "I want to go to the temple." Who wants to go to the temple? It's the soul. In general. Unless you want to go there to take food or do something else. Otherwise, it is the soul that goes to the temple. So, like that, different levels of our being express themselves through words, shabda. So this is the first earth. What is the second one? The manasa vega, the earth of the mind. Yes. But out of the six vegas, there are two related to the mind. Krodha. Yes. Bhaktisiddhanta says there are two sides of the mind, accepting and rejecting. Desire, you want it, and then you don't want it, then that is of the family of anger, ultimately. So this manasa vegam and krodha vegam, they belong to the urge of the mind. And then there are the urges of the body, which are the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. Jiva, udara, upasta. Okay? So let us look at each of them. This is what Srila Prabhupada says here. And he also says on page 7, I think it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, says this, that when a living entity falls victim to these three types of urges, his life becomes inauspicious. So, serious business. Vacho vegam. First, Prabhupada says, one must control his speaking power. So if we want to actually gain control over the six urges, what is the one that we should first look after? The urge to speak. Yes. The urge to speak. If that is controlled, meaning engaged in Krishna consciousness, in hearing, chanting, and speaking of Krishna, then everything else will fall in good line. So here, so we said, it is, expressions. So, but what is vacho vegam, like unfavorable vacho, the actual vegam, the urge to speak, uncontrolled urge to speak, Prabhupada controls, compares it to something, the croaking of the tongue. So, and what is that? What is this vacho vegam? It means useless, Prabhupada says, nonsensical talks about what?
About the material world.
Mm-hmm. And who are the people who are the victims of this vacho vegam? The impersonalists and the Mayavadis, that's one category, and then the fruity workers and the general materialists, means the vikarmis. Prabhupada gives three categories. The vikarmis, the people who know nothing, they're just gross sense and joy, no idea, sinners. Whatever they talk about, all vacho vegam. They're just uncontrolled talks about sense enjoyment. And then there are those who seek advancement, maybe try to avoid sin. So they are karmis. They follow some rules and regulations, some religious life, but it's not for ultimate purpose. It is not to please Krishna in any way. It is simply for self-gratification. So their talks are also nonsense. And besides talking, there is something else that Prabhupada has included in Vachavega. Besides talking?
Writing.
Yeah. The same nonsense, Prabhupada said, is also written down. So, books are a form of vacha. It is vacha. It is spoken, but only it has been put down in symbols, which can be decoded by the mind and transformed back into sound. This is what the books are. There is a sound, and you codify it, and another person reads those codes, and the mind decodifies it and turns it back into sound. Right? So this is Shastra when it's, you know, about Krishna. Otherwise, it is all nonsense, non-Krishna conscious talks. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he compares that to a pilgrimage for crowds. This kind of literature, he says, is like a pilgrimage for crowds. He quotes 1:5, 10-11. Na yad vachas chitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram ravranita kajichit tadvaya samtirtam ushanti manasa na yatrahamsa niramam chishikshayaha. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Where do they go, the crows? For pilgrimage? The garbage. They go to dirty places, stinky places. Since the all perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So what would be the consequences of speaking uncontrollably? Anything that comes. What are some of the consequences of Vachavega? Yes?
We may sometimes hurt someone else.
We can hurt others. Yes, it's true. We can hurt others. What else? Yes, Vladimir?
We get different unnecessary substances.
Unnecessary?
Samskara.
We create. Samskara, you mean, it's not exactly the word, but you create what? You create waves, reactions. Is that what you mean? Yeah, you create something. But actually, as you know, in the creation, sound is associated with space. So whatever sound we produce creates a specific time of space around us, which will be either favorable or unfavorable. Someone else? Yes? We waste time. Yes. What else?
We contaminate the mind with the desires.
We can contaminate our own mind and especially the mind of others. Yes.
Told in my lecture, you know, this unnecessary talk in the form of books awoke in the whole world, you know. Like misinterpretation, so many literatures, you know, people are speaking anything, but whatever they want.
Yes.
Like they want an essay to go to the internet, you go, whatever, anybody wants, anybody can speak on any topic. You don't know what's the real authenticity of the content.
Yes.
And this is making so much problems.
It's creating a lot of chaos in the world. And nowadays, Vachavega has become acute. Before, people used to, if they wanted to say something to someone, they had to walk 25 kilometers to the next village and talk and come back. But then they invented the telegraph, and then they invented the phone, and now they invented the internet, and everybody's talking with everybody about any nonsense. So yes, Vachavega is very prominent. It creates chaos in the world. It's very powerful. The whole empire of communism was based on one book. The Capital of Karl Marx, you know, it is published, distributed. People took it up. So, what else? Uncontrolled speech?
Understand
chaos means, what means chaos? Disruption, chaos means disruption. It creates disruption, disagreements. That's one of the things that is created by uncontrolled speech, is disagreements. Yes, what else is created by uncontrolled speech?
People who realize or disturb others.
Sorry. No, good. It's right.
I mean, if you often call and you can't, you know, it's very difficult to understand, and realize knowledge of others.
Oh, if you talk too much, you cannot realize.
Difficult
to realize if you talk too much. Okay. What else is there?
We can progress. We can progress because. Meditation, to think, or it's the time our thought.
We have to stop speaking if we want to meditate and think of Krishna.
Yeah.
Okay.
So invite it to also death.
We invite death. This is like the thought. We invite death. What does it mean? We invite death.
Wasting our energy.
We are wasting our energy, and whatever we talk, it's a subtle. It's a form of action. We are creating reactions. Sometimes you just insult somebody, right? This is uncontrolled speech. And then the reaction will come. And you have to take birth again to take that reaction. So we are inviting death. Yes? Yes. Sometimes also immediately, if you provoke somebody who is a bit nervous, you can, you know, finish you right away. What else?
If we speak for Java, Bhakti is destroyed.
Yes, we will read this in the next verse, that if we speak nonsense, Bhakti is destroyed. Yes.
Misguide people.
Yes, that is what you began. We misguide the people. We commit offenses.
There's a one in the quotes, you know, like proverb, like, you know, even one wrong word, you know, can harm more than sword, you know, like.
One wrong word can harm more than the sword. Yes. You can hurt people so badly with words. So these are so many things. Lies also. Lies, it is also part of this Vachovega. Because if we knew what is the consequence of lying, we wouldn't lie. It's very bad to lie. It creates all kinds of reaction. So these are different things that we create by this uncontrolled speech. So what do the impersonalists do about controlling speech?
Silence.
Yeah, that's what they do. Self-imposed silence. And yesterday, those who tried, you saw that it's not so easy, this self-imposed silence. Srila Prabhupada had something to say about this self-imposed silence. Let me see what I find it. Self-imposed silence. Prabhupada says, Mona does not mean that one should just stop speaking. The tongue is meant for speaking. Although sometimes, to make a big show, a person remains silent. There are many who observe silence some day in the week. Vaishnavas, however, do not observe such silence. Silence means not speaking foolishly. So this is the definition of silence for a Vaishnava. It means not speaking foolishly. Speakers at assemblies, conferences, and meetings generally speak foolishly like toads. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami as Vachovegam. This method of silence, therefore, is recommended for persons very attached to speaking nonsense. One who is not a devotee must speak nonsensically because he does not have the power to speak about the glories of Krishna. Thus, whatever he says is influenced by the illusory energy. One who speaks about the glories of the Lord, however, has no need to be silent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should go on chanting the glories of the Lord 24 hours a day. There is no question of becoming monarch or silent. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.46. So, this is not the solution. So then what is the solution, Prabhupada said, is talking about Krishna. This is the business of the devotees. Directly talking about Krishna, glorifying Him, chant His name, preaching. Preaching is a way to engage this Vega. Talking about devotional service, you know, you're planning festivals, you're planning Ratha Yatras, you talk, you meet, you talk about service. So that way the Bhakti Vega is actually engaged. And when it comes to writing, it is also the duty of the Vaishnavas to write. As much as the Karmis and Vikarmis are flooding the market, and the Mayavadis as well, they're flooding the market with nonsensical talks. It is the duty of the Vaishnavas to flood the internet and flood the market with Krishna conscious literature. That's why book distribution is so important, because we have to counteract, in one sense, all this nonsensical talk. So, in other words, using our speaking power solely for self-realization, for ourselves or for others. This is how to engage this Vachya Vega. I would say, how can we always speak of Krishna? How will this ever happen? That we just speak about Krishna, Krishna Seva. How will this happen? That we give up on the types of talks and we just engage in these talks. How will it happen?
If we stay in association
of devotees. If we stay in association of devotees, yeah, there's a tendency devotees will talk about Krishna.
And then
Sravana, yes. Associated with Vachya Vega or with this speaking is the hearing. We have to hear, because we heard that this speaking means expressing. You are expressing what's in the body and especially what's on the mind. So first we should fill the mind with Shravana. We should fill the mind with Krishna. Then we have a chance that Krishna will come out. If we keep reading the newspapers, we will share with others what we read in the newspaper. If we watch movies, we will also share that, because whatever is in the mind, it will come in the speech. So whatever we see, whatever we hear, that has to be, first of all, chosen. We have to read, we have to increase the hearing. So, what is... Maybe you don't want to say that, but you know. What is one topic? Remember, confidentiality. What is one topic that makes you talk? What is one topic that somehow draws you into a conversation? It's not about Krishna. Is there any one topic in the world that draws you, that makes you, that feelings, yeah, when you become overwhelmed by feelings, so you talk some nonsense.
Pleasure.
Okay, makes you talk. Okay. Anyone has some
suffering we have gone through sometimes?
Some sufferings you have gone through in life, somehow you can't stop talking about it. They did this to me, they did that to me, my father was bad with me, I went through this suffering, that's all right. Yes, that's something which draws you as a person. You know, we all have something that Maya will be able to somehow draw, make us talk about something. Anyone else? Tennis? Suppose there is a talk about tennis? Yeah, he is. He's a brahmana. He's frank. He speaks. Yes, because he loves tennis. So if somebody speaks about tennis, then he gets into it. Yeah. You?
Types of food.
Yeah, that's a good topic. Types of food, you know. something, you speak some people like veganism, you know, they like somehow sweets too much, so they talk about this, yes?
But it's how to form an alternative for protect the environment.
Protection of the environment. This is the topic for Raja Lakshmi. You know, landscaping and cultivation of, you know, growing food and trees and, very exciting. Of course, you can do that for Krishna, but it will draw you. Yes.
Sports, workout, something like
that. Sports. Some people, even though they have been in a devotee for such a long time, still somehow when comes the Cricket World Cup, they can't help it. Somehow they are attracted. Some sports, people are attracted to sports. What are the topics?
Politics.
Mr. Modi, what is he doing here? All of his country is talking about him. We have to talk about politics. Yes, it draws, yes. What else draws?
It's for movies. Actor, actress, movies.
Movies? Oscars. The Oscars. Okay. And?
Shortcomings and mistakes of others.
All the shortcomings and mistakes of others. Very interesting topic. very interesting.
Feeling of loneliness.
Feeling of loneliness. Oh, you feel lonely, you talk anything, you find someone and talk. Yes?
Grihastas, especially if it tells about the money investment, where they get more money, they're always ready to hear about it.
Oh, money is a good topic. He says, Grihastas especially, where is the money? Where is the money?
Yes.
How much, how you spent it? And how did you not earn it? Yes. So we get pulled into some topics. We will hear a little later in the further verse something called Prajalpa. But yes, we get pulled, and all of us have something like a string, you know, they say pull the string. Otherwise you only talk about Krishna, but suddenly somebody talks about tennis, you're gone. So we all have, you should identify yours. What is that thing that draws you into a talk which has nothing to do with Krishna really? Some attachment of the past, some suffering, something, some ambition that you have.
About relatives.
About relatives, talk about relatives. So like that. It is not so easy to remain just talking about Krishna. There are other things coming in our life. Okay. So, but we have understood that we must hear as much as possible so that our mind is filled as much as possible with talks of Krishna. And we have to practice it. When we meet a friend, instead of starting by asking, how are you doing, how's your health, how's your this, how's your that, rather try, you know, to somehow speak about Krishna. Oh, did you see the darshan today? Did you see Krishna today? Oh, I read this, I read that. We have to train ourselves, to force ourselves to somehow speak about Krishna. Because we have, Prabhupada created this society for sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha just doesn't mean that I'm a sadhu, you're a sadhu, or at least aspiring. I'm a sadhu, you're a sadhu, so when we are together we are having sadhu sangha. It is not like this. Sadhu sangha is when the sadhu actually speaks about Krishna. Then we can benefit others. Otherwise, we are not benefiting ourselves. So Prabhupada is saying we should practice this. We should practice. And Goswami is one who has it in control. And what is the other word that Prabhupada uses for the practitioner? The tapasvi. The tapasvi, we are tapasvi. We are trying, we are practicing, we are trying to control the vega. Goswami has control. Fine, gone, finished. He's peaceful.
Tapasvi.
So, Srila Rupa Goswami advocates the positive process of Krishna Katha. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of birth and death. So that is very important. And this is the main instruction of Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always chant the holy name of Krishna. Always speak about Krishna. And in this way, we purify ourselves and we gradually progress on the path of self-realization. The next vega is Manovega. What is the translation for Manovega? Birth of the mind. Prabhupada said it's the fickleness of the mind. Fickleness means?
Wavering nature.
Wavering. Changing. Always. Spinning around. Changing. Today I want this, next day I want that. Constantly changing. Yes, constant changes. And interestingly enough, of course we know that the functions of the mind are thinking, feeling, willing. Out of these, the willing part is being dealt with by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he says that this Manovega, the agitation of the flickering mind, is divided into two divisions. And he has given two Sanskrit words, avirodha priti and virodha yukta krodha. So, what is avirodha priti? It's based on materialistic desire. Prabhupada says, unrestricted attachment. These attachments come due to desires. We desire things and we become attached to the ideas, to the people. Mostly we are attached to the enjoyment or whatever it is. So unrestricted attachment. In other words, the mind has two functions, which is attraction and repulsion. We want something and then we don't want. We want, we don't want. It's also called in Sanskrit sankalpa vikalpa. Sankalpa vikalpa. Accept that which I think will give me pleasure. It is all self-centered. Manovega, all these vegas, they are self-centered. So the Manovega is self-centered. Whatever I feel, I think will give me pleasure, I want it. And what is not giving me pleasure, I don't want it. So here we have avirodha priti, unrestricted attachment. And the other side is virodha yukta krodha, anger arising from frustration. So anger is also a manovega. It is one of the six enemies of the mind. So, and how does it happen? What is the cause of anger according to this? Because desires are not fulfilled. So the cause of anger is material desires. We want something and we're not getting it. Just get frustrated. Sure, frustrated. And that causes anger. Anger comes in the mind and then in the body and you start beating up everyone. Yes. And actually the mind is like a subtle vacha. You know, it's the same. It's going on so many things in the mind. And so the desires of the mind, this fickleness of the mind of I want, I don't want, it is related to the same thing as the Vachavega. You may want sinful things, or you may want pious enjoyments, or you may want impersonal liberation. You want something which is not Krishna. That is the Manovega. You want something which has nothing to do with Krishna's interest. You want your own interest. And some people are so destructive and sick in their mind that they want their own destruction. So this is this Manovega. Self-destruction is actually krodha. turns towards oneself, which is the source of diseases. So, how do the impersonalists control this manovega, especially the manovega, what we hear, the urge of the mind? What do they do? They turn to yoga, which basically means they try to negate all the thoughts, all the feelings, all the desires. I told you my practice, thinking no, feeling no, walking no, drinking no, eating no, nothing no, everything no. So they try to create, Prabhupada says, a vacuum. What is vacuum?
Emptiness.
They try to create an emptiness in the mind. You see, when we chant Hare Krishna in the morning, we are trying to fill the mind with what?
Krishna.
With Krishna, with the Maha Mantra. Huh? The mind is full of thinking, feeling, willing. Huh? And we are not trying to stop the working of the mind. We are trying to put Krishna there. Think of Krishna. We see a beautiful picture of Krishna, we think of Krishna, we chant Krishna's name. So it is an engagement. But impersonal meditation means think about what?
Nothing.
Try to think about nothing. That's why you will go mad. You see, if it is also so difficult to not have this mind spinning when you chant, when there is actually an engagement for the mind to focus on. Suppose there is nothing to focus on. How will you control the mind? Then comes the artificial means, breathing, pranayama, yoga practices to create that vacuum in the mind. But as soon as you stop the pranayama, it starts spinning again. So that is not the solution. So in Krishna consciousness, what do? We fix the mind on
Krishna.
We think on Krishna. Which Krishna? We fix the mind on what? What does Prabhupada say?
Shamsundar.
He says Krishna's lotus feet. Don't miss it. We fix the mind on Krishna's lotus feet. This has various meanings. Literally, it means you meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Prabhupada always says when you go see the deity, first you look at the
feet.
And the feet also means the devotees. The feet also means the spiritual master. So you fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. You think of Krishna. And Prabhupada gives the analogy of the sun and the darkness. Wherever there is the sun, there is no darkness. So if we put Krishna within the mind, then that material energy, maya, of all this thinking, feeling, willing, it will go away. It will be driven away by the sun of Krishna, ultimately. So think of Krishna, think of how to serve Krishna. Not just constantly think of Krishna. Prabhu, can you help us with the preparations for Janmashtami or Nanuhan? I have to think of Krishna. We don't just think of Krishna's form and attributes. We do that, but we also think of Krishna's service. Because bhakti means service. Service is the expression of love. Remember, what is the goal of life?
Krishna Prem.
It's to develop that affection with Krishna, to develop Krishna Prem. But what is the symptom of Prema? That is
service.
If you love someone, like the wife loves her husband, so she's waiting for him, and she's thinking of him. She's looking at his picture and she's thinking of him. She's thinking, when is he going to come back? When is he going to come back? When is he going to go? And finally, 7 o'clock in the evening, knock, knock, the husband arrives, sits at the table. What have you cooked? And she said, well, I haven't cooked. I was just thinking about about the old days. So, in one sense, she was absorbed in the husband, but it was not like, if you are absorbed, you have to go further. She was enjoying thinking about it. She was enjoying the feeling in her heart. She was enjoying remembering him. Can happen with the husband also. Thinks about his wife but doesn't buy her any jewelry. Okay. So, thinking. You are thinking, but you did not go further. You have to go further. Thinking means, what does he need? What does the other person need? What does he want? What is the requirement? When you perceive completely the other person, what is their needs, what are their tastes, what are their habits, what are everything about them. It's like your husband goes to the market, he likes red, so he buys a red sari for the wife. The wife hates red. You have to match. You know, love means you are absorbed in the person, but not in the mood of the way you like. Not the way you like, not the way it pleases you, but the way it pleases the other person. You have to perceive what the other person wants and likes and feels. And you work for that. You become the servant of that person. She likes blue. I don't like blue. But, okay, she likes blue. So you buy a blue sari. Because, like that. And similarly, the husband, when he comes back at 7 o'clock in the evening, he's hungry. So if you love him, you have prepared the food offered to Krishna. So this is the idea here, that we also think about Krishna's service. This is very, very engaging, especially for us, who are not always able to focus the mind on Krishna's form. So we focus on his service as instructed by the spiritual master. Spiritual master has given us so many ways, unlimited ways to serve Krishna. So we just take one of these ways and just focus on it and just do that. Then the mind will be engaged. What is something that also Prabhupada said for controlling the mind? What else is Krishna gave us to control the mind?
Prasadam.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, when you are kind of emotional, you eat the sweet and everything's okay. What else do we do?
Studying.
Studying, yes, a good way, best way. Study means hearing. So you study, that controls the mind. You chant, that controls the mind. And especially Prabhupada told us, early morning, you wake up. Wake up early morning, catch the sattva guna, and follow what Prabhupada said. In the morning we should worship the spiritual master, we should worship Krishna, we should chant Krishna's name. All these things, we should hear Krishna katha. And as we do this again and again, every day, every day, every day, every day, what happens? The mind becomes controlled. This manovegam becomes subdued. Then if you go through these processes in the morning, then during the day you're supposed to be peaceful. Unless you do it for the wrong purpose. If we do it for the wrong purpose, then there will be no peace. Sometimes you see some people, they have gone through the whole morning program. And when you meet them at 11 o'clock in the morning, they're full of anger. So frustrated. What did you do all day? I went to Mangalati, I chanted my rounds, I attended Guru Puja, I listened to the class. What happened to you? It didn't work. He said, the process doesn't work. So what was behind? You have to be careful. What determines advancement in Krishna consciousness?
Attitude.
Yes. Okay. So, it is very interesting. We should all think about what do we like about Krishna. Because Krishna says you should think, Prabhupada says you should think of Krishna. So what does that mean? Think about what? There should be some material to think about. Therefore we have to hear, we have to read. everybody should have something that they like about Krishna. Slowly, slowly we have to like something about Krishna. I remember the first time I read through the 10th canto, Dwarka Lila. Krishna is just killing. One expedition after the next is killing Bomasura, killing this one, killing that one. There's blood everywhere. And I was reading through that and I was thinking, do I love him? I'm not quite sure. I was wondering this. I don't feel attracted, you know. It's like strange stories, you know. It's all like, he's just killing everybody, you know. And it's like, I'm thinking, wow, you know. So I don't like that too much, you know. And I was actually worried. I became worried I don't like Krishna. I actually became worried that when you read the Bhagavatam, you're supposed to develop love of God. And I found out I don't like this personality. I don't. So I was very much worried for some time. But I was chanting and trying to tell Krishna, you know, tell me, like, what's wrong with me? Like, such a treasure. And then one day, I realized Krishna gave me the understanding. So many variety of pastimes to attract so many different kinds of people. So then one day I saw one man. He looked very tall. He had huge muscles. And he was walking in the street and I thought, this one must like Dwarka Krishna. Always fighting, always, you know, something. So in that way we have to find those aspects of Krishna that we can relate to, that we feel attracted to. Some people love Krishna when he fights. Some people love Krishna because he had 16,108 wives. They find that very interesting. Some people like Krishna because he was a small boy and he was just messing around, you know. And some people like Krishna because he was with the coward boys having all kinds of adventures. Some people love Krishna because he's a great philosopher. So let us see, even in the conditioned state, if it's not our eternal attraction, at least something we should like about him. So fine, meditate on that. So you can do that for your homework for tomorrow. What do I like about Krishna? I like anything. We should have some attraction for him and we should dig into that part that we like so that we have material to think about. We should research about him. We should hear about him so that we have some material to think of. Otherwise he says, this is the way to control the mind. Think about Krishna. The only thing I have is the Maha Mantra. We should have something more to think of. We should know even the descriptions of Krishna. How many eyes does he have? Sorry, two. What are the consequences of failing to control the mind? You keep roaming definitely in the cycle of birth and death because what is to be done at the time of death? You have to remember Krishna. And if the mind is not controlled, then anything you will remember, your grandfather, your cow, anything. So, yes. What else will happen if we can't control the man of Vega? Yes?
He's like an elephant, same or so, that he is. He can destroy all the field on the garden.
The mind can destroy. Well, this is said about offenses, actually. Offensive mind, you say, can destroy our devotional life. Yes.
Can destroy the relationship with others.
Yes. Destroy relationship. Vacho vegam, mano vegam, they destroy the relationship. Also. Yes.
Like, you were saying in Bhagavad Gita, this, you know, Rajarshi, kings were trained, you know, this training by Brahmana to control the whole kingdom. If they're not trained, like, you know, the whole kingdom also go to hell with them.
Yes.
So the mind training, you know, they were trained to control and act accordingly.
Okay.
So mind is in every part of action.
Okay. Yes?
Juna was unable to control his mind. And the feeling is becoming more and more depressed and unable to do his duty.
Depression. Yes, uncontrolled mind can lead to depression. And further than depression?
Suicide.
Yes, the mind will tell you. See the knife here? See. Take the knife. Here. cut. Go. No, don't be afraid. Go, cut. Yes, the mind can make you commit suicide.
Homicide.
Which is?
Killing another.
The mind can make you do horrible things which is not controlled. What about madness? You say, well, he lost it. The grandfather lost it. Means, poop. The mind loses its the logic and everything. Madness. This is actually the... and what else? The main thing for us sadhakas is that uncontrolled mind brings inattentiveness. Inattentiveness in hearing. You are hearing, but the mind is wandering. So therefore, you don't catch all the points. Inattentiveness. Because of this uncontrolled mind, you cannot hear properly. The whole Bhagavatam says, hear attentively. But that depends on the control of the mind. If the mind is not controlled, we cannot hear attentively. We cannot chant attentively. We cannot worship attentively. You know, you do some worship, you are in Guru Puja, everybody is singing, Hey Guru Charana Padma. The mind is gone somewhere worshipping. Prabhupada said, they said, Goro, the cow. So the mind goes, and instead of being in the Guru Puja, the mind is distracted. So yes, inattention. And when we are not attentive in our worship, chanting, hearing, what is the consequence of this?
Offenses
are there, and there's no effect. We think we are chanting, we think we are hearing, we think we are worshipping, but we are not actually intensively in touch with Krishna. It keeps us at the superficial level. Once in a while you hear a word, you note it down. So this is not good. So this is uncontrolled mind also leads to insomnia. Right? You can't sleep. Too much going on in the mind. And dreams. In order to take proper rest, you need to go in susupti, deep sleep where there is no dream. I mean, the mind switches off. But when the mind is disturbed, this manovag is so strong, all night, the mind is working. You wake up in the morning, you feel like you haven't slept because the mind is working so much. So it is very detrimental. And if the mind is uncontrolled, what is the next thing that will be uncontrolled? The speech. Because the mind is so strong, it pushes, it tends to express. So if you can't control the mind, you can also not control the speech. And the different vegas are interrelated. And, which is even more than speech, is the action, the senses. Sometimes it says in the Kali Yoga, whatever is done in the mind, there is no reaction. So you can keep sinning in your mind. You can do all kinds of things, whatever you like in your mind, you can do. If you do it with your senses, then reaction. But if you do it in the mind, no problem. That is not very good. Because what? If you keep meditating in the mind on some sense gratification or something, it doesn't look like everybody thinks you're a saint. But you keep meditating, what will happen one day? It will come into action. And you will be surprised only. It will come one day when you are not even thinking about it. Suddenly, all this accumulated meditation in the mind is going to catch hold of the senses, and you're going to start being someone else that you didn't know you were, but actually you were, because this is what you were thinking about. You were thinking about this, and you will do it. You will say it, you will do it. So it is very dangerous. We have to discipline the mind through the practice of Krishna consciousness by fixing it on Krishna's name, form, qualities, service, engage the mind. So the other aspect is the krodha vega, the anger. What is anger? It is due to unfulfilled desire. That is the cause. But what is anger, Jim?
Reaction?
Expression of what? It is an expression, but of what?
Violent expression.
Violent expression of what?
Unfulfilled
desire.
Envy.
Yeah, it could be envy.
Dissatisfaction.
Yes. Dissatisfaction. Frustration. Dissatisfaction. And a little further, is actually an extreme displeasure. The opposite of pleasure. You experience some nice, pleasurable thing, you know. But when you are not pleased with something, it is related to sense gratification. When you don't find your pleasure, you are not pleased with something, something that somebody said, something that somebody did, or anything, then this intense, extreme displeasure, it manifests. And how it manifests is that you reject the object, whatever it is. You reject it. You turn against it. And anger is, as you said, very violent. What happens in the body and the mind and the words when we get angry? We see red. Not just you see red, but the eyes are red. There is redness in the eyes. And what else is there? Shaking. Trembling of anger. And then?
Breathing changes.
Breathing becomes short. Short breathing. It's very intense. It takes over the entire body. And what else? The intelligence gone out of the window. Yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, where do we hear this? Dhyayato Visharam Pumsam Sangas Teshu Padrayate Sangas Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodho Vijayate. It's not that from the desire to enjoy, you get anger. If the enjoyment is not satisfied, which mostly will never be satisfied, therefore everyone in this world has anger. Because everybody is trying to be happy and to satisfy their senses and their desires. And no one can be fully satisfied, so everyone has anger. We are all angry. Yes. So it is actually very ugly, the face of someone who is ugly. If someone is experiencing joy, you see, they become beautiful. But if someone is experiencing anger, they become ugly. The curling of the face, the lips, you see their teeth, and then they start screaming, shouting. It's Ugra Rupa. Like Nishingadev. It is Nishingadev. Even the heartbeat. That's one of the consequences of anger. Heart attack. He was so angry, he died. Yes, very. And it gives rise to violence. So, if we don't control the anger, then we can kill, we can do so many things. All the modern warfare, all this manifestation of anger. There is war everywhere. Anger due to frustration everywhere. And anger also, anger which is also like when you don't forgive, somebody did something to you and you can't forgive it. You're angry with that person, what will be the result of this?
Revenge.
Yeah, feelings of revenge, but also disease. Disease, because anger is a negative energy. If we are full of negative energy, ultimately we will become sick. Psychosomatic diseases are due to this. Anger towards others and anger towards oneself. Some people say, I hate myself. So that is not good. So this has to be controlled. So the impersonalists, of course, just try to suppress through yoga, through pranayama, or yogic, through mechanical means. What does Prabhupada say about how do we control anger? We can't get rid of it. We have to control it. So how do we control anger? We can use it against non-devotees. We can be in the legal department of this temple and fight. Yes?
We can preach our mind, preach ourselves like in movies before us with love and attention.
You have to preach to your mind, certainly. You have to preach to your mind, okay?
When somebody disrespects Krishna or our association of devotees, you should be there helping them out.
We should use the anger when somebody is attacking Krishna or attacking the Krishna consciousness movement, blaspheming a devotee, and then we should not tolerate. We should actually... What are some other ways to engage anger?
To control our desires, because if you don't have any desires for the wrong sex material.
This is the ultimate, because we heard Virodha Yukta Krodha, that this Krodha comes from desires. So if we want to get rid of anger, we have to work on the desires. How do we get rid of material desires? Very good question, ma'am. We have been told the solution is to again engage the desires in Krishna. That's what we just discussed. You desire Krishna. You desire to serve Krishna. You desire to please Krishna. You desire for Krishna. You develop that kind of positive desires. So, anger is also very useful for law and order. If you meet any policeman, what kind of vibes do they have? It's anger. Any policeman, do they speak normally? They don't. If you have any time be arrested or just checked by the police, it feels immediately like you get scared because they are full of anger. They are using anger. And this is used by the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas, they use anger to keep law and order. And they have to impress people, especially the rogues. Who will follow the laws of the state if nobody is there to enforce it? So there is a use. The parents, for example. The parents, if they are children, sometimes they have to get angry with the children. They have to chastise the children. Bad parents don't chastise their children. Let them do whatever damn thing they want. But that is not the way. The guru also can get angry with his disciple. The guru sometimes chastises, gets angry. So, how should we react to that? Oh, my guru doesn't like me. No, it's not. He loves you, actually. That's why he's chastising.
How much caring he is.
He's caring. So, therefore, he's chastising to teach. So, this anger has to be used in a way which is favorable to Krishna consciousness, to protect Krishna consciousness, protect the devotees, protect the temples, protect the deities, protect the lands. And in general, this kind of anger can be used mostly otherwise when we chastise people. We chastise our dependents, not everybody. Otherwise, Prabhu, I'm engaging my anger. Going shouting at everybody, correcting them the whole day long. No. We have a field where we are restricted.
father can scold his own son, not specifically the sons of all the people around the area. And so we have to engage it. Prabhupada gives examples who used anger. Lord Chaitanya with Jaga and Mada, he was red angry because they hurt Nityananda. So he was angry.
Hanuman.
He was red angry because Sita was taken away by Ravana. He was red angry. And Arjuna, do you think that he fought without being angry? No, he had to actually be angry. You can't fight if you're not angry. Anger means that power that goes against the object. You go against. So if you have to against an army, you have to be angry. So this is the way to engage. But there is something where Prabhupada said where we should control anger. In which case should anger be controlled? When somebody is aggressing ourselves or insulting ourselves. Yes. When somebody is talking some nonsense about our own selves, insulting us, then at that time, as a Vaishnava, you are supposed to tolerate insults. If you see someone is insulting a Vaishnava, then you may use your anger, if you feel it is proper, to stop this from going on. If someone is hurting someone, then you... But if the insult comes to oneself, then we should tolerate, especially if it is verbal insult or something like that. Then we tolerate. Why do we tolerate? On which principles? Humility. And there is a whole story about it, that if somebody somebody, for example, hurts us, sometimes it happens, somebody hurts us, should we fight back? Should we seek revenge? You should always understand that if somebody hurts us, something happens in our life which is negative, it is carried by someone who is an instrument. But he is an instrument of what? Who?
Krishna.
And? It's karmic reactions. He is an instrument of our previous actions. One day in the past, I slapped someone so heavy in the face they lost two teeth. And in this lifetime, what happens to me? I'm walking on the street happy. One day somebody comes and kick a drunkard, somebody, you know, bang, in my face. Two teeth gone. Who is responsible for this?
Yourselves.
But usually what we will is identify the hand, it belongs to this guy. And you become angry with that person, thinking him to be the cause of your suffering. But as Vaishnavas we know that it is not the cause of my suffering. The cause of my suffering is my previous deeds, which are based on my ignorance, my identification with this body, my mentality of Purusha in this world that causes all these reactions. Self-centered activities causing waves and reactions. So therefore, I tolerate. Yes.
Also, in this situation, should we consider the welfare of others? So we should report it also to authorities to handle it.
When we talk of tolerating and not developing revenge, this means that you should not turn against the person, because if you turn against the person, you start another cycle of karma. You know, my karma started many lifetimes ago. I slapped someone. It went round, 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 round in the cycle of time, and it came back on the other side. I finished. Karma finished. It's dead. But if I react to this, I start another cycle to get another reaction. But that doesn't mean So we have to forgive the person, tolerate, forgive. But it doesn't mean, as you say, that we just let it go. Mm-hmm. You can report without anger. Huh? Why report? For the benefit of the other person. For the benefit of this person who is going around hitting everybody and creating so many reactions for himself. So for the benefit, which means instead of krodha, you have prema. You love that person. It is difficult. But actually you must love the aggressor. These are the teachings of Jesus, very powerful teachings of Christianity, that you love your enemy. You love your aggressor. And you find a way how to benefit that person. And benefit means he may have to go to jail for his benefit. May have to be punished. But that is not out of anger, that is out of, actually, good wishes for that person.
Yes? What about extreme cases when somebody is like, with the intent of murder?
Good question. Intent of murder. One time Prabhupada was, I believe, on some morning walk, and somebody was saying like this, so you people are non-violent, and this you should tolerate insults to yourself. So what about if I come with a knife and I kill you? I try to kill you. So you should just tolerate, you should just let it go, because you are not supposed to, as a Vaishnava, you should tolerate insults to yourself. And Prabhupada said, I will kick you with my boot. Mean, I will defend. I will defend. Why? Because you want to kill this body. But this body is Krishna's body, and it is in my custody. I am the protector of this body, and you're not going to kill it. Because this body is fully engaged in Krishna's service, it is for his service, and it has to stay alive to perform that service. So therefore, I will fight. But understand, the fight should not be like with like hatred for the person or something like that, try to kill him. It's not exactly like that. Sometimes, extreme cases, we have to defend the body. It is correct. We defend the body. But once it is over, you don't continue to hate the person for the rest of your life. You don't continue to try to take revenge if you couldn't get him right straight on that day, you get on another day. No. Not like that. You don't keep that anger within. No. But you do have to defend the body. Because this body is very rarely achieved, and it has to be protected. This is one of our duties, to protect this body. Yes. But that is different from nurturing a negative emotion within the mind, you know, like that. And as I said, you see the body as the instrument for Krishna's service, not as an instrument of enjoyment for your own self. That you are frustrating my enjoyment by killing this body. Not like that. Okay, we better stop. So we will continue tomorrow. We are in normal order because these are important points here. So what homework did I give you already? Think about Krishna. How to... what to love about... What do you love about Krishna? Find something by tomorrow if you don't have anything, okay? And... another thing is, think a little bit about this anger, and besides engaging him in Krishna consciousness, engaging the anger in some ways, any other means that you can cool down when you really feel angry? You know, what are some other things you can do when you really feel angry? So we can... So find some practical things, Prabhupada said. Yes, of course, this is the ultimate solution. But when you are really angry, how do you cool down? How do you cool yourself down? So I'll ask you this question tomorrow. Okay. Okay? So we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll finish this, the last three Vedas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.